Hi, my name is Chris Jordan, and I want to welcome you to this podcast series. What the f*** are you talking about? I'll do a quick synopsis, and then you can expect a fluid conversation that continues in 6 episodes with 3 Gen Z representatives to officially bridge some kind of middle ground between the generation misunderstood for their instant gratified life views and unconventional walks to self-actualization. In a world that has segregated a need to collaborate with them, moving forward and forward still. During this podcast, we make light of, yes, certain aspects of this current socio-political conversation. But on a more serious note, this series does aim to really find out what it is that makes Gen Z such a highly emancipated worldview population. Please enjoy. I'm literally sitting here in uncharted waters. You will see that I'll make a lot of claims, I believe, that are the first ever in the world. And I don't care to do the research. I'm just owning it. And so this is officially unclaimed territory. It is definitely going to be somewhere where you want to kind of arrive. It's a gold mine that I find myself, that I've struck some gold here. I work with a bunch of students. I've been doing it for a long time as well. Thing is that, okay, let me kind of just contextualize this, because I am today going to proclaim myself as the Gen Z Whisperer throughout this 6-part episode series called What the F*** Are You Talking About? Together with 3 remarkable Gen Z 2022 spokespeople, doing our duty and bridge the first effective tangible gap between Gen Z and the world around us. So a short introduction to me, and I know that maybe some of you have listened to previous podcasts and my content, etc., on Chris Jordan Media, but my name is Chris Jordan. But okay, well, let's get to my team here. Darnay Gucci.
Yes, Darnay Gucci. Okay.
Because why?
Because Gucci is awesome.
Darnay
awesome, okay.
So. Okay. Oh, is that it? Okay. Yes. So here's my question to you. If you had to go up on stage, now you must imagine, now it's one of those stages where, you know, you can see the Jay-Z or Beyonce, the Illuminati people.
Yeah.
They can attract the whole world at once, right? And you're going to go on, and you're going to introduce yourself to the world to say that you have arrived.
Yeah. Look, I don't need to say anything, because my presence alone shows who I am.
So. But we have a lot of ignorant people in the world. They might need you to take out a piece of paper and color them in crayon.
Look,
what you're about.
They can see from the get-go who this lady is. So there's no way I need to open my mouth. They can see it in my presence. I don't need to say anything, because I have arrived, clearly.
King Christie. All right. So the thing is that lends itself well for my question, which is brainwashing. We love it. That's what big leaders do. Like, yeah, big people who come in, they brainwash the population. You will be a tyrant. What would you have all of us do?
Okay, so I would usually, as my fellow Gen Z people know,
yeah,
I would brainwash you to just have a good time. So I referenced it to Trolls Worldwide Tour. And we would just
okay,
sing and dance, and, you know, make the world a better place by singing and dancing.
Dance till you die.
Yes.
Dance till you die. That kind of thing. So, okay, like, if for someone that's so complex and creative, simply,
let me tell you, that's exactly why I got Simply Dumas. So the thing is, there's so many adjectives that you can use to describe all of this. That's why I was just like, you know what, my own adjective is just Simply Dumas. That's not a name, it's not a brand, it's an adjective to describe me.
Or the whole thing,
yes,
together. Okay, I mean, yeah, let's just quickly age everyone here. Do not lie. Like I say, your Instagram pictures will do that for you. We have a 25-year-old, so I remember Christie's age.
Yes. 32. My Instagram page will lie to you. I look much younger.
How many filters on an average picture?
Just one. Just one.
cool. Dua?
I'm 22.
We're right in there. Mm-hmm. We have a millennial that's crossing over.
Hey.
Like, she's coming to spy, which is a good one. And we also, every generation did put down their foot and did something to move. Forward is now becoming a little bit, like, questionable. Is there moving forward? Is there moving back? My sister's a millennial, and, I mean, I'm like, what claim? What is your claim?
Our claim is that we are fighting for these guys. Well, not actually, but...
How?
The thing is, we grew up in a generation where, like you said, with the rules and all that, right? So we've got this where it's like, you need to be a certain kind of way, you know, at a certain kind of age, you need to do this.
Mm.
But it's also then, it's like, But I need to be myself as well. You know, like, where's that? Like, I don't want to be married at a certain age. I don't want kids at a certain age. And then you get the Gen Zs where it's just like, you know what? Like, we're just going to love life. And we're like, this is what we've been fighting for, you know? That balance where it's like, okay, we know what's right is right. But also, we want to be rebellious in that sense. But we also know in that rebellion, we are so right.
Yeah.
Because you old people. Wow. You old people are so, y'all are stuck
in
your ways.
It's the truth. It's the truth, you know?
You guys are stuck. You guys are stuck in your ways.
I'm not going to defend it because I always lie about my age. So that I can, so I add like 3 years on. I'm like, so now I'm turning around, I'm 45. So then I always think like when I hit that age, it's not going to be as traumatic. But then I realized soon and always that I'm melodramatic. I'm like, ah! And give me a couch. Get me some grapes. do you thank her?
Her personally, yes. But then the thing is, with millennials, as a Gen Z myself, and like I'm literally on that, you know, before 2000s, because 26 December 1999, people are just like, just add 1 cent, you're 2000.
Yeah.
But then it's a thing of, I genuinely do see what Danae is saying, but also on the other hand, it's like, besides them fighting for us, it's also just like, we don't want to be like you. See what we're seeing, and we do not need any of that.
What? I mean, what is it? Because that's the thing. I mean, tell me what, when you say, whether it's a good or bad thing, regardless, I mean, if it's a good trait, you just also, you don't have to duplicate. I get that. What aspects of that?
For me personally, it would have to be this whole thing of there's indecisiveness within the millennials. Oh. Like, it's, as Donnie said, they're in that sweet spot where it's just like, it's, you know, the old people with one foot in the grave. And then it's us, you know, who are like baby new year every year. It's the case of, you know what, they're in that field where they're just like, okay, I want to do this, but what if I don't do it? Mm-hmm. Or what if I do it? And all of that. And then I come in, I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to do it. You don't have to do this. Like, it's okay. Here's a blanket. Here's a cup of coffee.
You don't have
to.
You won't. You might not. Because that's a millennial.
You know, you were making.
It's very young.
Very, very thin. You know, you're hot, then you're cold. Yes, then you're no.
I mean, you said, I mean, that kind of feeling where, you know, you can do what you want to do. But, I mean, to what extent, like in terms of this, looking at the world and saying, okay, cool, it is for love. I think money buys love. It does. When you're not doing someone a favor, when everyone gets old and ugly, people are like, you know, let's say you're not talking for years, but you look at each other and be like, okay, you'll do. Yeah. Is this where this whole thing of bringing up a Gen Z-er comes in? That type of aspect. From how early on were you validated?
I was not, to be honest, but it took time to get to that validation because I then had to, I got to a point in my life where I demanded the validation.
So first point where you try to identify as an individual.
Yes.
As a you.
Yes.
You understand?
Bring my opinion across.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was received with, you know, a lot of,
well, I mean, can you blame them? Because, I mean, all they know is that.
She basically supported me throughout my whole primary school, high school, kept the household running because I was her only child. I'm my dad's firstborn out of 5 children, but I'm my mom's only child.
Emotionally, psychologically, playing both parts. Like,
yes.
I say, how? In what situation?
She would, like, literally, there'd be times where I'd go through really difficult moments where I couldn't cope with school because in my family, there was this pressure, actually, that was put on me to excel.
Yeah.
Because I was my grandfather's first grandchild.
Okay.
So I had to set that standard for the ones coming after me to be like, okay, Christy was like this. She excelled. You need to beat her. All my life, I grew up knowing that my mom was my mom and my dad.
Okay.
And it takes me back to what my grandmother did to my mom, where it was like, you need to be back at a certain time. But also, to a certain extent, it was understandable because that was the apartheid era. Mm. And there was a lot of, you know, violence happening and there was a lot of, you know, things
happening.
Oh, with
her, yes, of course. I mean, come now, please.
So it was just like, okay, she carried that with her and that's what she's instilling in me.
Yeah.
But it was just like, we were butting heads when it came to that.
There's two questions that I want to ask. where was the fight with self-identity for real? Because the thing is, like, when you start saying, I am this way,
yeah,
but you fight back and you go take one step back, two steps forward, whatever, maybe what define emotions for you? Because every child, it doesn't matter how old you are, again, says emotions will be this and this and this in my context. So specifically that type of connection was defined by what? You grow further away.
Yes, you grow. Like, I grew further away from her, and it didn't help that actually the two women, or the two most influential people in my life, my grandmother and my mom,
right,
her daughter, essentially, were the ones that were, like, very heavily thinking, like, okay, I don't even want to lie. Like, guys, I've been beaten up for the most ridiculous things ever. You know, at one point, I remember my grandma beating me up for wanting to be a chef because she said girls are the only ones that are cooking.
Wow. So, yeah. The thing is, it's an obvious statement. The thing is that a Gen Z year wants to be liked by everyone. You say that. I'm not saying, I'm going to say it. You say that, yet the actions of what people define you as again, I was talking about the TED Talks guy earlier, man, and let me just get his name so I can sound official and stuff like, yeah. So his name's Harry Beard, all right? Beard, it doesn't matter. I like Beard. You know, goes on stage, 17-year-old, achieved a lot, it's great, and says that, well, look, I mean, growing up and basically controlling the world through the digital space, we all say you want to be liked by everybody because your actions predominantly are shown in this space, and that's how a lot of your expression for self-actualization, identity, and your growth comes from that. I mean, is that fair to say you have or you have not defined that space in your own miniverse? What is happening there?
So,
you know, trying to raise a millennial, hashtag Gen Z, hashtag you.
Mindset, oh, wow. So, and it's actually very weird because, like, they don't think like me. And it's not everyone thinks like you, but, I mean, we grew up in the same household, treated the same way, you know, got the same things.
But the world claims that the world claims, and it is, you know, the whole thing of, like, well, look, I mean, that these things are broken, these traditional ties around the face of the world, that's what's going on. You said something about them shying away.
Yeah.
But, you see, that's what I'm saying about contradictions. It's like, you're supposed to be more
out there.
Yeah. But how is that true? Do you shy away as opposed to, I mean, let's not talk about, let's say, a millennial standing and breaking through, because Madonna, hello from my generation, she stood up and broke through. But what's the difference then between you and them? Besides, I know the upbringing is a different thing. But sooner or later, like you say, we have a stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You will get sick and tired of not being who you are. That's genuinely what it is. I get that. And so you will be, once again, a person influenced by societal pressure, I get that, but also this internal fight that genuinely is just fight. It's you fighting against you until you won.
That's why, as the youth, it's kind of like, all right, or as Gen Z rather, to bring it back into the conversation, it's like we're all just sitting around and trying to think, and which is not bad, but we're all trying to sit and think what is the best way to put a message across, and then we're letting people with no message to put across actually have those platforms.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
that's the problem.
So you're drowning in a world of plasticity, is kind of the word, but the thing is, are you saying that it's because of that mass presence of a lot of kind of like empty statements?
Yeah.
The statements are not landing.
Yes,
is that what's going?
Because you look at examples like, you know, the other day, when you go to Sandton City, we always walk there to get our taxis. And there used to be this banner, I forgot for what alcohol brand, but then it's just like, yeah, keep pushing, keep your hustle up, and all of that. And I started taking notes of how many brands are taking that kind of thing, where they're hearing what we're saying, but they're like, I hear you, but then what's going to work for our next campaign?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to work for our next hashtag? It gets tiring because it's like you're missing the point.
Yeah.
It's not a case of trying to get, like, you know, hashtags and whatnot. We are not using... Personally, my frustration is we're not using these social media platforms for practical things. We're using it for sales. We're using it for views. Even you see fashion brands like your Shein and all of that having these hashtag whatever in order to show solidarity for these. But then really it's solidarity because they're just trying to make sales.
So where you're saying missing the point, we're going to get into so much of that as it is, you know, throughout our conversations. Where's the first, second, or third point we're missing?
We are
So don't
big
try.
Fighting.
Yeah, you don't have to be so. Don't think about it too much because you know. Yeah. So don't. You don't have to start at the most profound one.
No,
first thing that comes off your mind and be like, oh no.
It's what I like to call fake fighting.
Yeah.
Because, again, there's so many movements. There's so many, you know, we don't want capitalism. We don't want the environment to be destroyed. And, I mean, those are practical things to want because they are destroying us mentally, emotionally, and physically in some instances. However, we forget that we're giving these people fodder to make more sales.
Right,
we're giving
people
fodder to make more views. And that's why I'm just like, you're missing the point, because now it's not about knowing that, okay, I'm an hashtag environmentalist.
Mm.
I'm wearing hashtag save the environment. It cost me $60.
Yeah.
And I know that $60 is not going to the factory worker
who
was busy manufacturing that. Mm. They're going to be ripped off and they're probably too young to know that.
Yeah.
It's a case of we are ignoring the bigger signs, and we've made it such a... It's like, you know, a lot of people would have conversations on social media. It's just like, oh my gosh, like recently, Kourtney Kardashian is an environmental brand ambassador for some brand, right?
Yeah.
And then people took out files and they're like, okay, how are you going to do this when you have 51 factories in one place that add to the carbon footprints of that country and all of that?
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, you know, hypocrisy is trending. It's very profitable.
Is that the reason why Gen Z is so incredibly, because on the opposite side, hypocrisy is so incredibly, I'm saying they're so extra on both sides. So you're becoming more, I would say, just unmanageable because it's in reverse reaction to the amount of hypocrisy that you do live in. Is that, we don't want to sum it up all there. I'm just saying to you, is that part of the reason?
I think it is. The reason why I say so is because, Gen X is so into their own thing, where it's like they're too afraid to move to new things, but they know that they need to move to...
Let me just tell you. So we're through the analog to digital.
Yes.
So you're wrong.
No,
I'm being serious.
Let me make an example. Let me make an example with the cell phones, for example. It took y'all so long to get to Facebook. And
but no, sorry, it took longer for you because you weren't born yet. So we got there just fine.
I am still teaching my mom how to use WhatsApp.
How old is your mom?
My mom's 55.
Yeah, okay.
Young.
Is she a Gen Xer? She's not. She's a Gen... the baby boomer, isn't she?
Same thing.
Ah. Oh no, again, I'm being serious. Our generation, and I'm good, I'm proud of because of that, because we do have that to stand on. It's like we did move from the telephone, the ring, that type of thing, to the M-Web, ding, to the, and we're coping just fine.
You think so?
No, we, of course, the Gen X's are, please. I'm as digitally savvy as anybody else.
Let me say it from a mother's point of view then, because, they're so stuck in their old ways, where it's like, and that's the fight that we have in millennials and Gen Z's.
The hypocrisy.
Yes.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, you're saying one thing, but you're not doing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I am.
Like what?
It's like, let me love. Give me love. You're telling me, like, you know, you must go out and have fun and you must do life and all that. But as soon as I do life, because your child is just a bit drunk, you know, it's a problem. or your child is with boys, you know, then it's a problem. It's like,
but
no.
Again, that seems to be like a parent trying to... It's something, it's new ground for them. For them, because I mean, the thing is, again, they do want you to grow, they do want you to succeed, they do want you to be your individual person. At 32, you are, I get that, right? But again, for every parent that experiences a new frontier, they're going to be like, am I going to F this child's life up?
They actually do, though. You see, the thinking, it's the overthinking in the whole thing, because they actually do.
I don't believe in standing on a soapbox genuinely, unless you knew your own home.
Mm-hmm.
With people that are your responsibility, then get on that soapbox. But they do have experience and they do know, quote unquote, more about the world around you. I want to kind of end on this particular point. Where's Gen Z hypocritical at its best?
I feel like we are most hypocritical. And I say we just for solidarity, but I don't stand with it.
Well, that's the thing. The thing is, again, so we are through your own experiences and our conversations, sure, we'll add on to this entire series. But this is about a commentary too.
Yeah. Mm.
You understand? Mm. This current world that is being shaped by various mindsets, various generations, but yours in particular.
All right. For me, it has to be how we tackle self-awareness. It's how we go about it, and then we claim to be learning more about ourselves, but instead we weaponize it and use it as a reason to kind of just be like, you know what, I won't do this because I'm this way.
That's
I won't do that. Yeah, it's
tell
it's,
me more.
It's very hypocritical for me, because now that's the thing. We are the generation that's kind of putting emotional and mental health to the forefront. We are creating that conversation because so many of us are affected by it. But then there's so many of us as Gen Zers who take that and be like, oh, I don't want to wake up today. I'm probably depressed, or I'm anxious. That's why I can't go to where.
Mm.
It's a case of you're sitting there and you're kind of just... I mean, there is a chance that you could be undiagnosed. There is a very strong chance. But then I do not appreciate the way that mental health is being used as a personality trait instead of something they need to deal with.
Yeah.
It makes me mad because I obviously have my own experiences with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides outside of myself, you know, I have a family member who has schizophrenia. I have a family member who has dementia. And, you know, I've had a family member who has committed suicide because of depression. And it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I feel like anyone else would feel this way. But then why I'm angry about it as a Gen Zer is that during those times, all of the people who have, the one who committed themselves, who committed suicide because of depression, my schizophrenic aunt and my grandma who's suffering from dementia, those are people that in their age, they couldn't talk about these things, or they were labeled as, you know, crazy.
That's it.
So we are the generation that has the power to bring it out and actually come up with practical solutions and practical conversations to mental health.
But you're saying because the cop-out is now being counterintuitive.
Exactly, because it's trendy and it's cute. And again, I'm not discounting anyone who actually is dealing with it. But the thing is, they've made it a fashion trend.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I can't do that because I'm so depressed. You know, that's my case.
Gen Z is hypocritical in the sense of the actions, like the spoken word is not the actions, because they say a certain kind of thing but do it elsewhere.
What way?
In terms of they want to show that actually you're not going to tell me and I'm going to do it, you know? But then they still sit down and like not do it. They listen to the voices that is all around them. For me, fierce is where you stand your ground. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't need to be rude or we're fighting, but it's like...
In the mirror?
In the mirror, in front of people, like in life in general, where when I say, look, this is what it is right now, that is exactly what it is, and I'm going to fight for it. And I think that's my personality. And
yeah.
I think that's what's so sad for their generation is that it's all made up. In a little screen, you know what I'm saying? It's all made up in a little screen. It's like, I have to follow this. Look, your bag is not there. You're not there yet, and you don't need to impress the next. You know what I'm saying? But this is that's the generation. It's like, if I don't stand out like Christy, I'm not going to be accepted. You know?
It goes against everything, literally. Like your claim to individualism.
Yes.
How is that so close to the sheep flock mentality you just described right there to the king?
I actually have two, but I'll start with the first one. What's hypocritical for Gen Zers is, you know, when we say we want to start something but we don't finish it. So if I say, hey, I want to fix, you know, I want to better my financial standings in comparison to how my older brothers or my parents handled their financial status, it's kind of hypocritical, because it's like, okay, cool, you either have a, you know, you have income one way or another, but you are not, you know, the practicality into you wanting to better your financial standing is not being put into practice. For example, starting a business. Like, I know a friend of mine who started a business, was all, you know, fired up about it, was like, you know what, I'm going to be the first person in my family to break this generational curse, and I'm going to start this business and actually see it through. Because also within, you know, it's a stereotype, but within the Black community, once a business is started, it never really lasts, because it's not being managed or handled felt wow, especially in the finance department. And my friend's business just did not, you know, make it.
It sounds like she's doing it for herself. Is that the whole thing? Because you said, I'm going to do it to break the curse.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this because I want to. There's a different reason, not the quote-unquote right reason. Is that part of it or not? Because that's kind of a very brash assumption.
It's like a 50-50. So okay. The reason is, yes, you want to break the generational curse and all of that.
Yeah.
But it's also you want to make your own stand within society.
Okay.
And when you have to then put in the effort to make that happen, you fall short.
But doesn't it seem like a very important thing to want to do, make your stand? Why would you give up?
It's the gatekeepers, I promise, because it's one of those where it's like, we can do it, but that person was like, no, this is not on.
But also
they'll tell you, no, but they've raised you, and also they force you to not quit. I don't see any parent saying, if you're not comfortable, my dear. I don't know. That sounds like quite a lot of spirits.
But also, isn't it that I don't know how to put it, spirit of giving up to eat, like the first obstacle you come across, you're like, ah.
Yes, because it writes a narrative.
I can't do it.
Once again.
Yeah.
You know, again, a habit, 21 days, like I think it's like your entire life approach, like who you become in hard, cold stone for good.
Yeah.
Goes between, I think, it's about a year or so.
It also goes back to how we handle hardships. Like, we'll complain.
Oh, you guys struggle.
But this is, look, let me just also, I want to disclaim that these are how the rest of the episodes fold out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all these things, yes.
Yeah.
It's
how we handle hardships. Like, we come from Hell Week, and it's because of the choices that we made.
You have to contextualize what Hell Week is. Yeah.
So Hell Week is that week where we have to submit assignments that were given to us a good couple of weeks before that week.
Sure. 8 weeks prior.
But a bunch of us decided, no, you know what? I'm going to start all my assignments within that submission. Within that week.
Yeah.
And then you'll find us, like, literally sit here and super exhausted, and we're complaining about, oh my gosh, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. But it's just like, it's because of your choices.
Yeah.
You know, you could have started those weeks ago, and you probably had that pep talk to be like, okay, cool, I'm going to start.
Oh yeah, you did.
I'm good. Like, I went through this 3 times. This time around, it's going to be different.
I understand. In other words, committing to not committing.
Yes.
Or not committing. Yeah, committing to not committing.
Committing
that's
to
right.
not
yeah.
committing, yes.
I want to end on that note. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.